Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we come to the fourth of our studies in selected psalms, and the psalm which we wish to consider today is Psalm 19. If you have your Bibles near at hand, we certainly invite you to read with us. This is indeed a wonderful psalm. I shall just read it through, and then we will consider it bit by bit as the truth of the psalm opens up to us. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I may say at the beginning, this is a psalm of communication. It's a psalm of glory. God makes his presence and his person known among us by two reasons. By his unwritten word, creation, by his written word, the Bible. You'll notice that as we go through. I think I shall repeat verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard, and he's speaking through creation now. Their line is gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. This, from verses 1 to 6, and brings before us the beauties and the glories of creation. Now we consider God's written word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than fine gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey to the honey and the honeycomb. Here we have the word of God as our riches, as our inheritance, as our heritage, as indeed it is. Verse 11, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. First of all, we have the unwritten word of God, creation, by which means God makes himself known even to the heathen. We read, and very plainly, day unto day uttereth speech. It's got a message for us. God's creation, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God makes himself known as the creator to every people on the earth. The missionary, as he crosses the waves and goes to the foreign land, he will find that those people have a concept of God. Now, it's not a right concept. It needs to be corrected. We need to take them the story of our Lord Jesus Christ and of God's salvation through him. But they do have a knowledge of God. The Indians of this country, when we came over here, perhaps to convert them and to bring them a more sure way of salvation than their simple reasonings, and what they see in nature, the Word of God is more sure than nature itself. Nature is the candle. The Word of God is like the sun. But we found that they knew who the Great Spirit was. They knew where the happy hunting ground was, or they had a conception of the happy hunting ground. Perhaps I'd better say. We don't have to tell people that there is a supreme being. I think of Einstein, accredited by some as being the world's greatest science. Einstein made this remark, and it's certainly worthy of repetition, and I wish all pseudo-scientists would listen to this man. He said, the delicate balances of nature give indisputable evidence of the existence of a supreme being. God coordinates this universe, and he coordinates it beautifully. The beauty of creation, it impresses us. It's highly impressive. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And I feel sorry for anybody that cannot appreciate the beauties of God's nature. The beauty of a sunset with all its wonderful harmonizing colors. The beauty of the rose. The beauty of the mountains. God, give us a eyesight ever and always to see, spiritual eyesight too, to see the beauties of God's creation. And then it says about their message, their line, and it's spoken of almost as written, but it's unwritten. Their line is gone throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Here, words are used. And we're just talking about creation. And God brings it before us in this psalm as words, means of communication. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. Now, two figures are given as the sun. Now, without a telescope, certainly the sun is the central point of our universe. The peoples of past ages never got beyond our sun. Oh, they could see the stars at night, but they didn't know that they were suns. They just saw them as points of light. And certainly, God takes up the sun. And you know the sun is a picture of Christ. We read in Malachi chapter 4, the sun of righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. And it's spelt S-U-N. Now, the sun speaks of Christ. Why? Because he is the source of all energy. Because everything revolves around the sun. Because the sun gives us light. Because the sun, gives us health. Without it, we would soon die. Everything depends upon the sun as far as this earth is concerned. And that sun is spoken of under two figures, as a bridegroom and as a strong man ready to run a race. Now, this is remarkable. As a bridegroom, God has two great companies, the church and Israel. Or perhaps I should say Israel and the church. The Jew first and then the Gentile. All right. He has two great companies. To the church, Christ is as a bridegroom. The church is the bride. Ephesians chapter 5. To Israel, he's the strong man, their Messiah, that will be the king of this world during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he is seen under these two figures. Thus, creation speaks to us. Now, Paul, in the first chapter of Romans, has something to say about this. Now, he does not quote the 19th Psalm, but I think he has the 19th Psalm in mind. And I believe you will believe it. I believe that you will agree with me, rather. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And I'm reading in Romans 1 and 18. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them. God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world, and the world... word creation is used here. From the creation of the world are clearly seen. That's the language of Psalm 19. There's no voice, no place where their voice is not heard. They're clearly seen, Paul says, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now the heathen did know God. Everyone knew God. They are all the descendants of Adam. They took some of that knowledge of God with them into their various habitats of the earth. But they corrupted it. They manufactured of God of their own imagination. Now, let's get to the written word of God in Psalm 19. The law is the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The holy scriptures give us the knowledge of salvation for the conversion of our souls. If I didn't know, if I didn't read it in the Word of God, that God loved me and gave His Son to die on the cross for me, if somebody told me that, I wouldn't believe it. God loved me to the extent He gave His own Son to die for me? I couldn't believe that. But it's in the Word of God, and God doesn't lie. God wants us in His heaven so badly. He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might go to heaven, if we want to. And I certainly want to. Now, here we have the Word of God converts the soul. It tells us about the Lord Jesus. We need to go to the heathen and tell them that Christ died for their sins too. Simply a knowledge of God as a creator is not enough. We need the knowledge of Christ as the Redeemer. Then the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. I think we need to consider more in verse 7, however. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, making us wise to salvation, I may say. And then in verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. We need instructions to how to live for God, to how to escape the traps and the pitfalls of sin. We read in Psalm 119 and verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Yes, the word of God makes us wise. And the commandment of the Lord is pure, and it rejoices the heart. This is verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Oh, the word of God rejoices the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It shows us the pitfalls that are before us. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring for the forever, and incidentally, it'll clean up our lives. And then, going on from there, we read, the fear of the Lord is clean and enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. They will give us the way to righteousness. Then I like the way the psalm ends. When he sees the communication of the unwritten word creation, when he sees the communication of the word of God, he says, I want to know the Lord better. Keep thy servant back from presumptuous sin. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in my sight. And listen to what he says, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. May we let God communicate with us, that we might know Him and His Christ. Our Father, today, we pray that You'll make us understand that You love us, You want us in Your heaven, and a way open is there through faith in Christ. In His name, amen.